Procrastinators to the Rescue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Turns out, neither snow nor rain nor recession can keep us from shopping. A MasterCard advisor is reporting this morning, holiday retail sales this year were more than 3.5% higher than they were in 2008. Online sales were up 15.5%. Much of that action was at the very last minute. Sales were looking dismal just last week, partly because of extreme weather in the Midwest and Northeast. Retail, of course, makes up about 70% of our economy. The most popular present this holiday season? Gift cards. And this year's spin on that was cards you can spend anywhere. And they're not just for the holidays, as Jill Barshay reports.
Next time you get a rebate from a retailer, don't be surprised if it comes as a plastic debit card rather than a check. Tim Sloan is a director at market research firm Mercator Advisory Group. He says $143 billion will be transacted on prepaid cards in 2010, a 50% increase over this year.
Checks are notoriously expensive to issue and to manage.
Sloan says banks, MasterCard, and Visa are investing millions in prepaid card technology. Already, Walmart processes payroll on them. Social Security and unemployment benefits come on prepaid cards, too. But the cards can be a challenge to use at the register. Sloan says many merchants can't read how much money is on the card or easily split the total bill with a credit card.
And there are so many merchants that don't know how to do that that it's unbelievable.
Prepaid cards are also under fire for the monthly fees that some financial institutions deduct. In February, the Federal Reserve is slated to issue new regulations. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
Good news from the retail sector helped push oil prices to a high for the month, nearly $79 a barrel. It also has the markets feeling good. Tokyo's Nikkei Index jumped 1.3% today. Paris's CAC 40 is up 0.8%. Germany's DAX is up 0.7%. European plane maker Airbus is struggling with delays on its much-anticipated jumbo jet, the A380. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The A380 is a monster in every sense. The world's largest passenger plane, capable of carrying up to 850 people. It's also been Airbus's biggest ever headache, aviation analyst Howard Wealdon.
They have continued to have severe production delays. One might say this aircraft is still being built virtually by hand.
The delays have been largely due to complex wiring. 2 years after the jet was launched, there are only 23 of them in service. Orders have slowed to a trickle. Wealdon reckons that at current levels of production, it'll take Airbus 20 years to break even on the project.
I think we should probably better see this as an aircraft as a great technical success, but as an absolute financial disaster in the short and medium term.
Airbus insists that its giant gamble will pay off. Air travel is still expected to grow fast, especially in densely populated Asia. A big plane makes sense, it says. The A380 will have its day, but it could be a long time coming. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead.
The last decade has seen changes in all kinds of businesses. Music's a big one. 10 years ago, Napster was the most popular source of downloads until some legal issues, you may remember. iTunes launched in 2003. It's now the biggest music store in the world. And through it all, record labels have been scrambling to find a workable business model. Bill Wordy is the editorial director for Billboard. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
The last 10 years in music, we've seen quite a revolution in the business. Sum that up for us, if you can.
A decade in the music business. Wow. You know, Billboard just put out our decade-end issue, and we really kind of struggled with this because, you know, on one hand, over the course of the decade, music was really strong, and there's more music in more places than certainly there's ever been. But if you look at the core business, if you look at music labels, if you look at publishers, it's been a tough, tough decade.
It does seem like there's been a little bit of a comeback. I mean, I remember when services like Napster and things, it was like nobody paid for music. Now it's actually pretty, I mean, maybe I'm in the minority here, but I pay $1.23 for iTunes songs all the time. Is that turning around right now?
I think it's slowly turning around. I mean, the more the music business makes it really simple to have the experience you want as a music fan, the more likely it is that music fans are going to be willing to pay for that experience. For a long time, Apple was the only game in town, and, you know, the iTunes store, and that didn't really give you the full experience that you could get elsewhere online if you were willing to break the law. So if you went on to Napster in the early days or any of the file trading services that followed, you know, you had this whole amazing universe of music that included live tracks and bootlegs and things that had never been released and, you know, entire concerts. And I think there's been a great effort to expand the catalog that you can buy in an upstanding environment.
10 years from now, what do you think the industry will look like?
Well, there's certain parts of the business that have held their strength. For example, music in film and TV. You know, there's more music, I think, in television commercials and in TV shows than has ever been. And a lot of people would say that shows like Grey's Anatomy or The OC from a few years ago have sort of become the new radio. As for the sale of recorded music, it's really impossible to say at this point. I mean, I think it's difficult enough to predict where we'll be at the end of 2010. People talk about the publishing business as a penny's business, right? Every time you play that song, you know, some publisher somewhere makes a penny or two. And I think to some extent that may be the future of the recorded music business as well. You'll see fewer and fewer albums sold, most likely, and you'll see more and more songs being streamed, being licensed, finding other ways to make money for the rights holders than by selling albums.
Bill Wordy is the editorial director for Billboard. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
And finally, Apple has stopped selling iPhones to New Yorkers. New York City's zip codes are being denied on Apple's website. The company says it's a strategic move, but there's speculation it has more to do with AT&T's overloaded 3G network. New York iPhone users have been experiencing dropped calls and slow service for months. One thing's for sure, if you live in New York, no iPhone for you. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.